Amid all the worries about global boiling, North Dakota sets a record cold temperature today. Amid all the uncertainty about what will happen in the midterms of 2026, a Minnesota senator drops a bombshell announcement. And amid all the foot dragging in the Democrat chamber of the U.S. Senate, two more cabinet members get confirmed today. Good afternoon, friends. Steve Hallstrom here with you for the Steve Hallstrom Show on this chilly, I don't even know if chilly begins to say the entire story, the coldest night of the year. We have just gotten by it, and maybe it won't get worse. We will take that. But we are here at Giving Hearts Day 2025. And it has been just a treat to be here all day long. I want to make a couple things clear off the beginning of the show today. We are going to do the show a little differently than we normally do, but we are going to give you a ton of news, tidbits, information from the world happening outside of Giving Hearts Day. I don't want you to feel like Steve's show might just be all about all the great nonprofits. We're going to mix in some interesting stories about this event and this process, but it's not going to be a never-ending train of this great nonprofit, there are fantastic organizations. We love them. I wish I could do a six-hour show doing nothing but. But the point of this show from 4 to 6, a drive-time news program, is to make sure you know what happened today, because I'm telling you what, brother and sister, a lot of very interesting things happened today. Every day, I don't know about you, but I wake up and I just say, what else is the good Lord going to give us today? Straight from Washington, D.C. And I don't remember feeling that way a whole lot over the last 4 years. But two more cabinet members confirmed today, two others off to very good starts. And so we'll cover all of that here on the program today. 701-271-1100 is our phone number. You can call us anytime. And that's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment and get in this week at valleychristian.co. I've got the mobile studio on wheels today. The mobile studio over at the DMF building today. It is the Precision Concrete Cutters Ram Jack North studio. Your home is your greatest asset. Protect it and go to pccnd.com to learn more. We have so many things to get to here on the show today. And as you know, I try to keep a big local focus on the program, but I can't help it on days like today when things are as interesting as they are in Washington, D.C. And a little good news from our own family that I get to share with you before the day is done, too. So we're going to have a heck of a day here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. There is a number of ways to get in touch with us today. The text line, I'm not going to have you work on the text line today. Email and phone would be great. studio@flagfamily.com if you've got a comment. I've got the studio inbox up here ready for your comments, questions, anything that you have for us today here as well. So with that being said, let's get to the 4 o'clock wrap, semi-automatic storylines, as we go rapid fire to catch you up on what has been a busy day. It is February 13th, 2025. Average high for this day is 22. Average low is 3. Record high 50 degrees in 1983. Record low minus 30 in 1916. We got close overnight. I heard 26 below here in town in Bismarck, 31 below. We're going to talk about why that matters coming up in just a bit. So we almost set a record low temperature last night here in Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo. The sunrise this morning was at 7:33. Sunset will be at 5:49 tonight. We will gain 3 minutes and 6 seconds of daylight today, and we will celebrate every one of them, because you know what? That means that spring is just around the corner. We're excited about that. Let's take a look at the day in the markets today. Well, after a topsy-turvy day yesterday in the markets, it was a positive day today, and pretty much across the board. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 342 points to close at 44,711. The S&P 500 up 63 points to finish at 6115. And the NASDAQ was up 295 points to close at 19,945. Donald Trump talking about imposing some tariffs, but also talking about holding off on imposing others. So this is the game we play, trying to keep up with the tariff conversation day to day. But you can definitely see day by day how these tariffs, or the threat thereof, are certainly being used as negotiating points for the new president. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas today, $3.16 nationwide. In North Dakota, it's $2.98. Minnesota, $3.06. And South Dakota is at $3.02. WTI crude oil today, pretty much much unchanged, $71 a barrel. And if you've been watching that chart, when the inauguration happened, oil was about $79 on the WTI price. And here we are 3 weeks later, and we're about $8 lower than that. So we've certainly seen oil prices come down. A number of factors certainly involved there, but a president who is discussing many ways that we can drill, baby, drill, frack, baby, frack, certainly starts to calm down those markets. We're seeing more of that on a day-by-day basis. Gold today up $28.50 an ounce at $2,957. Remember that at January 1st of 2024, so a little over a year ago, you could buy an ounce of gold for about $2,000. Now, $3,000. Everybody's buying gold. Silver up 19 cents. People are buying silver, too, at $32.97. Some of you bold folks who are buying the Bitcoin today, well, you lost a little money today. Down $692 at $96,486. All right. In the news today, this is the story I was hinting at. Off the top of the show, temperatures reached a record low in North Dakota this morning. State officials say it hit 31 below just before dawn at the Bismarck Airport, and that number beat the previous state record for February 13th, set in 2021 of minus 28. So not only did we break, we busted it by about 10%. Sadly, very cold temperatures are persisting throughout the day and will be lasting through the weekend. Also in the news today, Bismarck Tribune reports that a bill that would have required the Ten Commandments to be posted in all public schools in North Dakota has been voted down 53-38. The bill got a 12-2 do pass recommendation coming out of committee, but the bill goes down by 15 votes today. It would have required the Ten Commandments to be posted in the cafeteria of every school in North Dakota, while allowing any teacher to post them in the classroom if they wanted. The original bill said they had to be in every classroom. The bill was amended, but for, even after all that happened, eventually the bill, even for the cafeteria only mandatory plan, was voted down. So it could come back at some point. The Senate could introduce something, but as of right now, it looks like that will not be something that will pass out of this particular session. The bombshell news today out of the state of Minnesota, U.S. Senator Tina Smith will not seek re-election next year. She said, I love doing what I've been doing. I appreciate the time I've spent, but I want to back away a little bit. I've been in politics for a long time, want to spend more time with my family. It's just time to slow down. So that's got a lot of people talking, not just regionally, but nationally as well, because there are a number of Republican candidates who have voiced that they may be interested in that and might be able to give whoever goes into that now from the Democrat side a fight for their money. Tim Walz has been rumored to be interested in that job as well. I don't know if that's a promotion to leave your governor's position for a senator's job. Maybe so. But Tina Smith will not run next year. Amy Klobuchar, the other U.S. senator on Minnesota, she's not up for re-election in 2026. So not too long after that, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan announced that she would run for U.S. Senate, and Congresswoman Ilhan Omar out of the Twin Cities said she's considering a run as well. So a lot of prominent Democrats sound like they are very interested in that position. The Star Tribune reports that Donald Trump's tariff day looked a little bit like this. He signed a measure to have tariff rates match what other countries charge. They call this reciprocal tariffs. You're hearing that term in the news a little bit. The president says we've had a very unfair system to us. Everybody took advantage of the United States. So the president today signed a measure to have tariff rates match what other countries charge us. There have been a couple of confirmations today in Washington, D.C. Brooke Rollins confirmed as the Secretary of Agriculture. I didn't know much about Brooke Rollins. She sailed through 72-28. She served as a chief of domestic policy in the first Trump administration. She's a conservative legal activist, grew up on a farm, has roots in the farm industry, recently served as president of the America First Policy Institute. So she is in. So is RFK Jr. as the Secretary of Health and Human Services. That went through on a 52-48 vote, so a little more contentious on that one. All the Republicans voted yes, except Mitch McConnell sided with the Democrats on that one in a 52-48 vote. Kash Patel's nomination is moving along. The Senate Judiciary Committee has voted on what you might call the first step to him being nominated for FBI director. This after a fiery confirmation hearing last month, as you probably remember, and fierce opposition from Democrats. But committee members voted 12-10 today to advance Patel to a full floor vote, and it's expected that the Republicans will have enough votes to get him through as well. Linda McMahon began her confirmation hearing today, testifying in committee. So that one is underway at this time, as she would be the Department of Education secretary. Some inflation news today. Producer price index came in today, hotter than expected, to go along with the consumer price index that I told you about yesterday that showed a big jump to the hot side. Well, same thing with producer prices. 0%, 0.4% month over month. So annualized, what does that mean? 4.8% for the year. We're not going the right direction on inflation here anytime soon. Producer price index, this is what the wholesaler pays to get products from the factory before they pass them on to the retailer. So it's kind of a middleman inflation report. And those, friends, are some of the stories that are making headlines here on this Thursday afternoon. When we come back on the program, one of the bright shining faces you'll see here at Giving Hearts Day 2025 is a gentleman I've had the honor of knowing for quite some time, a man who we call Coach around here, and not just because of his heroics coaching young men on the basketball floor, but also coaching nonprofits to be their very best. Irv Inninger joins us here at Dakota Medical Foundation. We come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Hey, friend, if you need a hand at the business, the lake place, the ranch, whatever it is, when you need another pair of hands, think Labor Masters and get the quality, reliable help you need today. Labor Masters is Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo's number one choice for daily and temp labor. No job is too big. No project is too small. They're fantastic. We've used them at our business as well. They show up early with a smile on their face. How's that? And that's how your day starts, with these wonderful people. And then they go to work and do a great job. And then they all get paid before they go home, so they're smiling at the end of the day, too. It's all good at Labor Masters. Find out more at labormasters.net. And think about that this spring, putting in the dock, spring cleaning around the place. You don't have to be a business to get Nancy's team on your side. Labormasters.net. All right, well, speaking of people you want on your side, I'm pleased to be joined now with a good friend of mine. And he's been a huge part of our community in many different ways. And now he's a big part of Dakota Medical Foundation as well. Irv Inninger is here, and I'll just call him executive coach at Dakota Medical Foundation. He just makes people better. Irv, great to see you again.
Oh, great to be with you, Steve. We go back a long way.
We do, yes, sir. When I came to Fargo, you were working at NDSU, had been the men's basketball coach there, and you were in charge of development and making sure the story got told. And I'll tell you, the thing I remember most about you from those first meetings, I walked in and there's a man with an open Bible on his desk. And I said, here's a man that I can get behind. And you did great things at NDSU, coaching basketball and then growing that program. And you've since then done a number of different things. But now you're working with Dakota Medical Foundation. Tell us about this.
Well, it was kind of a fluky thing. Pat Trainer talked to me about 12 years ago, actually. And he said, I'd love to have you come work for me. Well, then I went in to work for the Choice Bank for a number of years. I was on their board. And then when I got done with Choice Bank, Pat said, why don't you come over here and do it? I said, well, what would I do? He said, I'll tell you what. I'll have 10 charities that you can coach. And because I was a fundraiser, and you could help them fundraise. So I got in here, and when I got in here, he says, well, Irv, I think you could do 20. Mm-hmm. I said, Pat, you're not being real fair to me here.
Heck of a retirement job you got there.
So I started off with 20-some charities, and he let me develop the program. And basically what I did, Steve, I didn't get to select any of the charities. They select the charities, and I walk into you, and if you're with Farm in the Dell, for example, basically what I do, tell me what you're doing. And then what I do is I never tell them what to do. I say, I suggest this and this. These are the steps that I see that will help you in fundraising. Mm-hmm. I did fundraising for over 40 years. And so I felt like I could give them some help.
Yeah.
And so basically what happened after that was that I learned from them. You and I were just talking about they don't set their goals high enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't make enough phone calls. Mm. And I've studied what donors like. And then basically I say, okay, and I give them a list. This is what donors like and what they don't like. They don't like long letters. They want things to right to the point. If you're coming after me. And so basically I got started, and they have helped me along the way, and I've learned from them. And I have a one-on-one session with everyone, and they can have more than that if they want.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically I have five meetings in five different months with the whole group. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. The attitudes that come in there. And you're not going to like this, maybe, Steve, because I ask him. I said,
"Well, this will be good radio."
When I go on, I said, "I'll tell them. I'll say, okay, tell me what the most important thing in their program is." Now they're going to say the people and all that stuff. I said, "No, it's not. It's money."
Mm.
Because if you don't have the money, you can't have the program.
That's
and
right.
I said, "I know you. What you're doing is. Don't get me wrong. I don't want anybody to think out there that all these people that are being touched, that are being served.
Yeah.
It's the most important thing. But you can do a lot more." With the money you get,
absolutely.
Steve, and I think that's what I try to do is a push, and I push hard. I mean, I really do. Just before all the this session, I called every charity to wish them well, push them, and then I go around and I raise $1,000 for each charity. And so I want them to know, hey, is it easy? No.
But it can be done.
It can be done. So
yeah.
Get out. If I can go out and raise $1,000 for 30 charities, that's $30,000.
So what do you think? So the thing I love about these organizations, none of them got into this because they like paperwork or they wanted to be famous or they thought it was a way to get rich. They did it because they love people.
Yes.
That's really what it comes down to. That's got to be inspiring to be around people like that who they really just want to make the world. A lot of people say they want to make the world better. These people really do.
They're dedicated to it. It's amazing. Out of the 30 charities I have, I see the dedication and the love they have for the people. I see them with special needs kids. I see them with senior citizens. I see them. I have all the spectrum that you can imagine. And the nice thing about coming over here is, and Steve, you've been over here. When you walk up into the offices, when you leave, you feel like a better person.
Yes, you do.
Because they're positive, they believe in people, they want you to be successful, and they know that if you get behind and do what they're asking you to do, you're going to have success, and then you're going to be helping more people than you even imagine you could.
No doubt about it. Let me ask you this. Let's take what you do to a business setting and give people – we have a lot of business executives and business owners and people that listen to this program. Praise God for that. What can people in the business community learn from your conversations and that challenging people to get better and think bigger and set bigger goals? A lot of that has to have application in the business world as well, doesn't it?
Well, it's actually a business model because businesses have, as you know, Steve, and you work with them, you know, they all have goals that they have to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying now, what happens a lot of times is they're so afraid to push that goal way up. And business is no different in some cases. They want to make their goal so badly that they don't want to set it high enough to make it look like it. I mean, my son's in business. And I look at him, I said, "What's your goal?" He says, "Well, Dad, every time I reach my goal, they want me to go higher."
You jack it up.
And
yeah.
But that's the problem. That's the push of a business, and it's a push of charities.
Yeah.
And most of the charities just don't have the business model, I think. And I bring in business people to talk to the groups because I want them to know what they think. And I can't bring donors in for this reason, is that if I bring a business person or donor in, they all want to grab him. You got 30 charities.
Oh, yes.
And you know what? I want to have some friends. So, Steve, I don't want 30 people pounding on you. But this is such a blessing. This isn't work. You and I are talking about how you love your job. This isn't a job to me. This is a fun thing. I'm not full-time. I can have my own schedule. As soon as this is over, I'm heading to Florida for 2 months. So I really get the best of all worlds, and I get to meet some amazing people that are doing amazing things.
Somebody told me once, when we get to heaven, there's going to be the people, the great cloud of witnesses, as it says, that are going to be able to come around us and put their hand on our shoulder and say, "Thank you. You helped me. You made a difference." You're going to have a big crowd, brother, when you get there. I just know that. But you got a ways to go. You told me you're 80. Now you just turned 80, but I don't believe it. You look like you're maybe half that. So keep on going, my man, and keep making a difference.
You make it easy, and it's so much fun to talk to you because I know what your faith is all about, and I think that's the strength of my life. I mean, I'm very blessed. I have a great wife. I have a great family. My boys have done very well. My grandsons have done very well. And that's what life's all about. And they all have a good faith. And I can't ask any more than that. I am blessed. And over and over again. And I just like being around positive people. Well, I think that's what makes it, Steve.
Well, you make our room better whenever you're with us. So thanks for being here today.
Oh, it's great to be with you again. Irv Inniger, I really enjoyed this.
The one and only joining us here on the Steve Holcim Show. All right. Thanks so much, Irv. You have a great night. And my best to Linda as well. All right. Let's go to the Flag Family Newsroom right now. Austin Erickson is here, and he's been checking in on some of the story. He's been working on some of the big stories of the day. Austin, take it away.
Good afternoon. A person is back in custody after officials at the Williams County Correctional Center in Williston handed them over to someone impersonating an Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent. The Williams County Sheriff's Office says a person authorities have not identified was taken into custody January 22nd on driving under suspension charges and held on detainer for ICE. 20 minutes after handing them over to what deputies believed was an agent on Tuesday, the correctional center determined they were not an ICE agent and found the inmate. That inmate was taken to the Ward County Detention Center in Minot. The sheriff's office has not said how long it took to find that inmate. The person claiming to be an ICE agent was arrested and charged with impersonating a law enforcement officer. The Williams County Sheriff's Office says in a statement, "Leadership has taken corrective action to reinforce existing policies and procedures regarding correctional center security and unauthorized access."
I hope so. What a story that is. My goodness. So, very something you don't hear every day, right?
No, and I definitely think if I was working there, I would be like, man, heads are going to roll.
Yep, for sure.
Democratic Minnesota Senator Tina Smith announces she won't run for re-election in 2026. She says she made the decision since her two sons and four grandchildren are in the Minneapolis area, and her father is turning 95 this summer.
Also, after 20 years of hard and rewarding work in the public sector, I'm ready to spend more time with my family. So this decision is not political. It is entirely personal.
The senator adds she will have more time in her nearly 2 years left in office devoted to her job since she won't have to campaign. DFL Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan says on social media she intends to run for Senate and will make a formal announcement later. And a point to that is a public relations firm emailed our news email saying Flanagan is not ready for interviews yet.
Oh, okay. I did also see a note that Ilhan Omar is taking a look at the position, too, and Tim Walz is giving it some consideration.
Yeah, Politico said that, so it'd be interesting if both Walz and Flanagan ran against each other. But
No kidding.
Royce White has also said that he intends to run for Senate. He said that quite shortly after he lost to Amy Klobuchar.
Tried to beat Amy Klobuchar, and that didn't work, so... Stay tuned, right?
It's, yeah.
Pretty interesting. Congresswoman Angie Craig also thinking about it, too. So that's going to be an interesting one for sure. I don't know that any of us were expecting this today, but, I she's done a lot of public service and probably ready to spend more time with her family, and so good for her.
Right, and she started at Planned Parenthood in 2010. She joined then-Mayor of Minneapolis, R.T. Ryback's, office. She was his chief of staff. Then she was chief of staff for former governor Mark Dayton, and then became his lieutenant governor.
There you go.
And it's Giving Hearts Day, a great day to warm up your heart with not so warm temperatures outside. Fargo's new Life Center is looking for donations this Giving Hearts Day because the homeless shelter for men is at its 150 bed capacity year round. People staying at the shelter often are struggling with substance abuse, mental health issues, unemployment, and the loss of a home.
Our job is to come alongside of folks who are in that season and help them get back on their feet and give them hope, right, to bring some hope for tomorrow.
Executive Director Rob Swears says New Life Center used to see fewer people during the summer, but that's no longer the case. The organization offers a short-term emergency shelter for up to 90 days and a recovery program for a little over 1 year. And a few years ago, I know, baseball great Daryl Strawberry spoke at the New Life Center. So yes, if he endorses it, and he has had struggles with drug and alcohol issues, you know it's a good place that's looking for donations.
Absolutely, and I can update. We just went over the $25 million mark here on Giving Hearts Day, $25,098,000. So the record at 29.3 looks like it's going down tonight, Austin.
Yeah, and it's records are meant to be broken, and that's definitely something to celebrate.
Yes, sir. All right, thank you, Austin. I appreciate the update very much. Now let's send it over to the Skywatch Weather Center. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is going to tell us it's going to stay cold, but maybe not quite as bad as it's been.
Steve, we've got some bitter cold weather that's going to continue over the next week or so, and we'll see a few fluctuation in temps here and there, but other than that, it's a cold-looking forecast, and we're going to add a little bit of snow to the forecast as well. So a cold rest of the afternoon and evening. We're looking at temperatures hanging in the single digits, and we're not going to drop off too much tonight. After a sunny day today, we'll see a few clouds come in tonight. Winds are going to be out of the south at about 5 to 11, and we're looking at temperatures bottoming out between 0 and 5 below, then rising towards morning. And we'll have an increase in clouds that will lead to a cloudy Friday. We'll see light snow overspread the area in the afternoon, lasting into the early overnight hours. We'll have highs around 15 on Friday. Now, I'm not expecting a lot of snow, but about an inch or so around and south of the 94 corridor, Northern Valley, Northwest Minnesota, just trace amounts. But the winds increase Friday night and Saturday, so we'll have to deal with blowing snow. Highs on Saturday only in the single digits above zero, and then single digit below zero for highs on Sunday. So a cold weekend, and like I said earlier, Steve, we're stuck in this pattern through all of next week. I do see a change in the pattern as we head after about the 22nd of the month. So slightly warmer weather should start to push in towards that third week of the month.
Okay, well, we'll take it. We don't have much choice. So there you go. Thanks very much, Dino. All right, when we come back, the Fargo Park District says, you know what, let's think this over again. Maybe we don't want to raise the family pool rates as much as we talked about. That story and more right after this on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Just went over $25 million in donations. And when we had Irv Inniger on just a few minutes ago, he says, when you come to this building, you leave with a smile on your face. And I have to tell you that's true. So I've been in and out of this building a couple of times today. And when I have come into the building, there's people leaving with a smile. When I leave, there's people that are coming in with a smile. And there's smiles all over the place. It's just that day when everybody feels good. And that is because of so much good work that's been done by so many, chief among them, Pat Trainer, Executive Director, Dakota Medical Foundation. Well, sir, another horrible effort put together by our community and trying to be nice to people again this year. My word.
You know, we couldn't be more ecstatic, really. I mean, it's amazing what we're witnessing. And you're right, it does put a smile. You
Unreal.
Have a big smile on your face. Mm. It puts a smile on everyone's face because we truly live in a great place. We have so many kind, actual giving hearts amongst us.
Yeah.
And nothing happens unless people actually give.
Yeah.
They get up and they say, I'm going to care about something or someone.
Yeah.
And each one of these charities, there's 619 of them, represents a way to show that we care.
Yeah.
So it's just, we get to see it. So we're living this right now in real time.
Yeah, it's insane. Any surprises so far about anything?
You know, we're raising good surprises. Thousands of pounds of food through Henry the Heart food drives. So I don't have a number for you, but there were 159 Henry the Heart food drive sites. And if you go on givingheartsday.org, you'll find where it says donate goods. Mm. You can go and find the map of where all these Henry the Heart, you know, all across North Dakota, Northwest Minnesota, where these food drives are going on. Amazing how many pounds are being raised right now. So We'll have numbers, you know, estimates. Probably take us a week after. But that's a great surprise, a pleasant surprise.
That's pretty cool. I was here earlier today when Gate City Bank was doing a giveaway, and they gave out some pretty big checks today.
They did.
You know, every dollar helps, but when you see businesses like that that say, you know, we want to make a difference in a big way, that's got to be an encouragement to everybody.
It is. It completely is. And you know what? They do a great job all across North Dakota and Northwest Minnesota. It's kind of the same footprint. But throughout these communities, what we are seeing, there are over 300 businesses in Giving Hearts Day, Steve, and we're seeing them step up. You know, and it's nice to see leaders like Gate City, Shields, Vision Bank, you know, these Bell Bank. You know, Bell Bank came over and they do their wonderful program, you know, with their employees.
Yeah,
and they bring a giant check over, you know, that is going to be distributed amongst several charities. And it's the power of doing these things that create the great awareness to do good for others. Yep. And that's what you're seeing with these businesses.
So based on where we're at, 25.2, in the last 5 minutes, we've had another $250,000. It's just it's like Monopoly money here. But based on what you're seeing, you have any predictions where we end up on the money number?
Well, I never do. And you guys always ask me, and we're hoping to go over what we did last year, of course.
Yeah.
But honestly, we just want to inspire more giving hearts. So get out, get with one of these charities, and it'll transform your life. Not just today, but every day. But givingheartsday.org.
Yeah.
We want to get it over 30 million in answer to your question.
And volunteers to givingheartsday.org. It's not just money. But having those nonprofits, when they see people say, yes, I like what Pat is doing and Steve is doing, whoever is doing, I want to be part of that. Boy, what a big emotional boost that is. So give your time, your talents, your treasure, all of it is very important. Pat, thanks for being here. And again, thanks for all you do for our community and the bright light that this organization is for all of us in this metro area.
Thank you, and I'm blessed to work with awesome people that do this work.
Right on. Thanks so much. Pat Trainer, the one and only Executive Director of Dakota Medical Foundation. All right, I told you this before the commercial break. The Fargo Park District says, you know, let's think twice about this. So they're reconsidering the pool pass price increase for this summer. And I have to tell you that we talked about it on our show yesterday. Jay Thomas talked about it on his show yesterday as well. And I know that there's a lot of social media traffic about this. I'm not going to say that we had something to do with this, but it was everybody in the community really jumped on this and said, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. So they were going to go for that family pass from $193 last year. This year is going to be $500, so basically $300 more. So in a post on Facebook, the Park District announced yesterday that, you know, we're going to take another look at this and discuss any potential changes with the staff and park board before finalizing a decision. So we'll see what happens there, but I thought that was pretty interesting there. Austin Erickson told us this story, and I have to take a minute to also jump on this one. But that story about the Williams County jail up in Williston, a person is back in custody after officials there handed an inmate over to somebody who said they were from ICE. Can you believe that this really happened? So they still haven't identified the person that is involved here on this whole thing. But they say that the person came in, said they were an ICE agent, found the inmate, and the staff there didn't realize it. And so the person there, I said that wrong. The authorities haven't identified the person that was taken into custody originally on this, but the person that came to get them shortly thereafter, they know who that is, and that person's now been charged with impersonating a law enforcement officer. But isn't that a story? How does this happen? Like, how would that possibly happen where someone come in saying, I'm from ICE, and you're supposed to release this person into my custody? I mean, wouldn't you think they would need to have all kinds of documentation about who they were and what they were about and orders for releasing them into custody? What kind of badge did they have? Did they look like they were an ICE agent? I don't know. It's just one of those stories that I just can't stop laughing about. I shouldn't laugh because it's not funny, But I do chuckle just a little bit. I have a question for you if you're a farmer. Were the Trump tariffs in the first go-around a good thing or a bad thing? I haven't been able to get my head around this because for every person I hear saying they were a bad thing, there's another person that says, oh, no, this was a great thing that they did there. If you're a farmer, if you're in farming or in agriculture, I would love to hear from you about that. I don't remember all the details, but in the first Trump administration, he had the soybean and I think some corn tariffs as well for China. And so because of it, people are saying, well, okay, if you're going to put tariffs on these things, then we're either not going to sell to you or it's going to be so expensive it's going to drive the price up and farmers are going to be hurting because of that. Now, I've talked to a couple farmers that have said, you know what Donald Trump did is something no politician would do, and it was starting to pay off when his administration ended. But then Joe Biden gets in there, and he basically wipes them all out and then goes back away from that. So I hear that. And then I'm watching some news stories from different places around the country, and some farmers in different industries. I saw one almond farmer, I saw a corn farmer, I saw a wheat farmer saying that the Trump tariffs really hurt the price and they hurt farmers. And yes, it might have been a long game and we might have got things better later, but you should know when you're the president and you're only guaranteed 4 years, you can't play a 10-year long game because you don't know how it's going to play out. And you know what? I get that. That does make some sense to me. At the same time, I love it when the president does things that presidents and politicians don't normally do. So I would love to hear from you today. You can call us at 701-271-1100, or you can email studio@flagfamily.com. Those are the two ways today that that we can make contact with you today. The text line not working today because we are out and about today on our remote visit. So I would like to hear from you if you've got a comment on some of these tariffs here that we're discussing today. Hamas also said today that it's going to release three more Israeli hostages, paving the way to resolving a major dispute over the ceasefire in the Gaza Strip. Now, Hamas had been threatening that they were going to delay this next release of captives, and they're basically pointing the finger at Israel, saying, well, Israel is not meeting its obligations, to how we're going to do this and all this kind of thing. But then Donald Trump comes out and kind of doubles down on, if these hostages aren't released by the weekend, there's going to be hell to pay. So Hamas now, Trump's like, don't mess around with us. And now Hamas says it's going to release three more Israeli hostages. I don't know how many hostages there can really be anymore that are alive. At one time, there were about 250 people abducted on October 7th. And, more than half of those have been released in some deal or another. Eight were rescued, if you remember that. They kind of went in with the SEALs, and dozens of bodies have been recovered there. So we don't really know what's happening with those hostages, and maybe the three they say they can release are the only three that they have. But it'll be interesting to see what happens there, because Donald Trump has said, do not mess with us on this. And, you know, isn't it something when Joe Biden was, sitting there in his chair going, I got one word for you, don't. And, like, nobody believed that he had anything behind him at all. Now Donald Trump's in there saying, and Trump's been in office for 3 weeks and making it happen. So you can love Donald Trump, you can hate Donald, it doesn't matter, but don't insult all of our intelligence by saying, oh, yeah, Joe Biden would have got those out, too. He's a strong negotiator, and he talks tough, and people respect him. No, they didn't. We all know that. So I thought that was another encouraging note coming out of the news cycle today. All right, it is 4:51 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. We got a short break for us. When we come back on the other side, still got a lot of things to talk about here on the show today. A sad note from the local education world, as a Fargo Moorhead teacher has passed away after battling cancer. And when one of our teachers who's in those classrooms loving our kids every day passes away, we like to try to bring those stories to you when we can. And we'll do that when we come back live on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Hey, there's a new deal on the website, am1100theflag.com, on the big deals page. And if you're looking for something to do to beat the winter blues, boy, do I have the idea for you here. Kingpins, you can get a $10 gift certificate for $8. This isn't a coupon. It's not a buy one, get one free. It's straight out cash. Basically, you buy a $10 gift certificate, you only pay $8 for it. And right about now, aren't we all going a little crazy with the winter, the weather the way it is, trying to tire the kids out, maybe just something for the mom and dad to go do. Just get out of the house a little bit. You can use it toward anything there, bowling, laser tag, escape rooms, the arcade, food and beverages. It's a great place for get together with friends, family, maybe even clients. Now, there's a limited supply, so get them now before they go, and they're going to go fast. But just go on to am1100theflag.com. And click on the big deals page. It'll bring you right there, along with a lot of other really cool things there. It's a great thing to do. And I love to go to the big deals store and get a certificate once in a while if you just want to drop off a little thank you for somebody, maybe somebody who did a favor for you. And you say, hey, you know, here's whatever, $10 at Kingpins. They're going to feel like a king or a queen, and it'll only cost you $8. That's a pretty good deal. So brighten somebody's day and go to the webpage. am1100theflag.com. Click on Big Deals and get that gift certificate to Kingpins. I was just kind of scouring the news sites today, and I saw the Forum had a story up about Ross Olson. And Ross had been battling brain cancer for about 2.5 years and lost his battle recently at the age of 41. A great athlete. He was All-State in, I think, football, basketball, and baseball. And passed away last Thursday. And he's a guy that a lot of people, just when you said Ross Olson, they said South High Athletics. He was a Bruin, coached there as well for a few years. Went to NDSU, played football there, but then was a coach and a teacher at South High School and went on to go over to Moorhead as well and taught over there. And the way they kind of diagnosed everything was kind of crazy too. The fall of 2022, so just a little over 2 years ago, he was in a car crash caused by a seizure. And so they did some testing and found a tumor along the left side of his brain that was inhibiting motor function. Up until then, there hadn't been like any signs at all. They got 90% of the tumor, but what remained to continue to plague him, and just you can't get it all sometimes. And one thing led to another, and he fought hard and was definitely a battler, but ended up passing away about a week ago. And I just love the people who teach in our schools. We've been critical on my show from time to time about the system of public education and the outcomes and some of the administration and how much money now is spent on administrative offices rather than teachers and kids. But make no mistake, the people that teach our kids day to day, and most of the people in administration too, I think are people that we really need to celebrate, that are pouring into our kids day after day, week after week, and making the world better because they're making our kids better. When a teacher passes away like that, it's something that just makes me say, shoot. And it just hits you hard on this Giving Hearts Day, because Ross Olson was a guy who gave a lot of his heart away. All right, when we come back on the show, we've got the top five at five, and we've got some big announcements coming from the state of Minnesota today. One U.S. senator says, I'm not running again for re-election, and a whole bunch of others say, I want that job. We'll talk about that and more when we come back live to Giving Hearts Day. $25.4 million raised so far. Be back after that. The Steve Hallstrom Studio is built on a solid foundation thanks to our sponsor, Precision Concrete Cutters and Ramjack North. Your home is your greatest asset. Protect it and go to pccnd.com to learn more. We're at Dakota Medical Foundation headquarters today, Giving Hearts Day 2025. And we are now up to $25,689,000. So we'll hit probably $26 million before we get off the air today. And can we get to 29.3? That's last year's record. I think we're definitely on pace. A lot of people go home at the end of the day. I heard Scott Hennon talk about this earlier today on his show. He said he goes home at the end of the day, and, you know, 8, 9 o'clock, he and Maria will sit down, and they'll each pick out, like, 10 different charities and kind of whittle it down from there. and make their donations. And I haven't done mine yet today, and I need to do that too. I think that's true for a lot of us. And it used to be at midnight, you could kind of close the books on it, but they're open out in the western part of the state, mountain time zone as well, and midnight doesn't hit there until a little later here. So we will probably not know at midnight exactly how it all turned out, but it's going to be a remarkable day, no question about that. GivingHeartsDay.org is where you find out more about that. And if you're thinking, I'd like to do something, but money's a little tight, or I would rather just rather get involved, no problem there. You can sign up to volunteer there as well. Be a volunteer and get connected with one of these great charities that's happening here. All right, let's get into the top five at five. These are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. It's brought to you by Nancy Kelly Realty. Go to nancykellyrealty.com and find out more about Colfax Meadows, where small town living is still a thing. Story number one today, I have to start with this, and you know how much I rail on the whole global warming thing here. If you're new to the show, just know that I think it's a total hoax. And I have studied a lot on this. I've read a lot of information, and I've thought it through. So all those things together, I just say there's no way that this can really be there's no way you can link carbon emissions, carbon dioxide emissions, to the temperature or the weather events. Just it doesn't follow suit. It's an unprovable theory, and one that people use to make money. So I love stories like today. And I understand it's only one cold day, and it doesn't mean that we can't statistically be having a warmer period. I think we are, by the way, having a warmer period of weather here. I mean, last winter, my word, that was crazy. And this winter has been fairly mild, too. Even though last summer really was fairly cool, so was the summer before that. So, It's been a little warmer statistically, and the records will tell you that. But this so far this winter, once we at least turn the page into 2025, things are different. And then overnight, early this morning, we hit a new record low temperature for February 13th. At the Bismarck Airport, it got down to 31 below zero. The previous state record for anywhere in the state on February 13th was minus 28, and that was set back in 2021. So not only did we break it, we broke it by 3 degrees. That's doing a little something. So if there is global boiling out there, it seems to be having a tough time getting organized. So anyway, that's story number one. Story number two, this comes from CNN today. And they report that Americans are having a harder time managing rising debt burdens, and in some cases have not been this overextended since the aftermath of the Great Recession. So the Federal Reserve Bank of New York issued today its latest comprehensive look at credit conditions for American households. And they look at categories like mortgages, auto loans, credit cards, student loans, home equity lines, and things like that. And they report that in the fourth quarter of last year, overall debt levels increased by 0.5%, half a percent in the fourth quarter last year. So annualized, that's 2% increase. The amount of overall household debt now is $18.04 trillion. Every major loan category in the report saw increases. Credit card balances now are over $1.2 trillion. And that is, year over year, 7.3% higher than the fourth quarter last year. Now, there's been other increases in past years that have been higher than that. But considering, this is what I think is the big takeaway for me on this, is that we're now 4 years past COVID, right? I mean, we had the great crash of everything. Productivity, economy, spending, everything. People were making money, but you couldn't get out to spend it on anything. So here we are 5 years now, 4 or 5 years past that, and we are still seeing negative numbers adding to the pile on this. We should be going the other way at this point. There should have been a recovery by now, but there's not, because obviously we cannot get our ducks in a row on how to run an economy. Now Donald Trump is in, and we hope that things go better that way, but I just thought that number was really interesting there. There was one other note I saw on this that I wanted to pass along. Oh, yeah, the share of households becoming seriously delinquent. This is a missed payment for 90 days or more on auto loans and credit cards are at a 14-year high. So Americans are extended. And I know that we continue to spend as a country, but I don't really know how we're doing it because we continue to have all this credit that some at some point this is going to all come due. All right, so story number three, U.S. Senator Tina Smith out of Minnesota will not seek re-election in 2026. This was a surprise to a lot of people. Tim Walz has been speculating that he might someday run for a Senate. Peggy Flanagan announced right away today, the lieutenant governor, that she's going to run for U.S. Senate. And Ilhan Omar is considering running for Senate as well. We need somebody like Liz Collins or Michelle Tafoya, right? Our friends from Minnesota. We need one of those ladies to get in there and run for Senate. Give somebody a common sense option. Let me take you to Washington, D.C. for story number four. And this is the roundup of all these Senate confirmation hearings. It was a wild day. Okay, we got two people through. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is in, confirmed, voted on by the full Senate, and approved as the Department of Health and Human Services Secretary. So good deal there. Brooke Rollins is the new Secretary of Agriculture. She got through on a full floor vote today, 72-28. Farm girl herself served as chief of domestic policy in the first Trump administration, and she's been with the America First Policy Institute for the last few years as well. And so she's one of us for sure. And now she's the Secretary of Ag. So that's fantastic. Kash Patel got out of committee today, so he now advances to a full floor vote. And the confirmation hearings in committee began today for Linda McMahon as well. She is President Trump's pick to lead the Department of Education. And by the way, I'll also mention that Kirsten Basler has now confirmed that she is a candidate for one of the higher-ups under Linda McMahon in the Department of Education as well. I don't know that she's number two, but she's up there. She would be the person who kind of oversees K through 12. So a big position possibly for her as well. So she'll have to go through the same kind of confirmation hearings as all these other people. So we'll see what happens there. Finally, I just thought this was a fun story to throw in the top five of five, because a lot of us, as we make a few more laps around the track, feel like an afternoon nap sounds like a good idea. Right when you're a little kid, you never want to take a nap. If mom and dad made you take a nap, you're like, oh, nowadays, right, you crawl naked through broken glass to take a nap. Well, if you've ever wondered about the best time to take a nap, researchers have found the answer. 1:42 p.m., yes? 1:42, not 1:40, not 1:45, 1:42 p.m. This came out of a new nationwide study that looked at how Americans nap and what makes some people better nappers than others. So the survey found that most people aim for about a 50-minute nap, which would have them waking up at 2:33. But there's a catch. They say napping too long can leave you feeling worse than before you closed your eyes. Huh, you don't want to sleep too long. So naps lasting longer than an hour and 26 minutes, oh my word, enter what researchers call the danger zone. At this point, you might feel groggy and disoriented instead of refreshed. This is true for me. I'm much better if I get 10 minutes than if I get like an hour. If I get an hour, I'm just groggier. But like 10 minutes just takes the edge off right there. So 10, 20 minutes seems to be the wheelhouse there. And so for whatever reason, a little after 1:30 is the best place to do it. Your biorhythm statistically will be in the best place possible to get a good nap and get something out of it. So there you go. All right, and four and a half. I don't know if the napping story is all that consequential. I just thought it was kind of fun. Thought you might enjoy hearing that today. 5:17 here on the Steve Alstrom Show, live from Giving Hearts Day 2025. When we come back, we're going to talk about a big story. Not the Tina Smith story, another big story in the state of Minnesota. And that is that general fund revenues are coming in lower than expected in the state of Minnesota. It might seem kind of wonky at first, but I think this is a very interesting subject. And we're going to visit about that with one of our good friends from the Center of the American Experiment when we come back live on the Steve Hallstrom Show. If you own some building space, manage a building where there is a lot of foot traffic, maybe work in an event venue or manage one? Well, I've got an idea for you. Get a hold of the good people at Card Care Systems. They are your best choice for an ATM partner. You just provide the location and Card Care Systems handles the rest. You get a share of the ATM fees and lower credit card processing fees will result. They sell and service ATMs for area businesses as well. And nobody provides better ATM customer service than Card Care Systems. Contact them to see if you qualify for their free 90-day placement program and start improving your bottom line today. Go to getmyatm.com, getmyatm.com. We are pleased to be joined right now on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line by Martha Giolamoli. And Martha is somebody I got to meet earlier today via the phone, and she is an economist at the Center of the American Experiment. And CAE, a great organization, headquartered in the Twin Cities. They now do a lot of work in North Dakota as well. And when there's something going on in Minnesota with the economy, taxes, inflation, jobs, whatever, I call my friends at Center of the American Experiment. And I was connected with Martha today. And what a great story that she has, first of all. So we'll talk about that, but first let's introduce her to you. Hi, Martha. How are you today?
Hi, Steve. Thank you for having me. I am doing great.
Yes.
How are you doing?
Wonderful. Appreciate you giving us some time. The first time we've had the honor of having you on our program. So welcome to the Steve Hallstrom Show, and glad to have you along with us. Now, you need to know, friends, that Martha has a wonderful story. She earned her Master's of Arts in Economics at Troy University in Alabama, and she grew up, though, in Malawi in Southeast Africa, a developing country. And because of these life experiences, she developed a passion for contributing to research about social and economic factors. And her work at Center of the American Experiment focuses extensively on advocating for less regulation, less taxes, and less government spending. So even though Martha and I grew up a long way apart from each other in very different situations, we are brothers and sisters in the campaign about less taxes, government spending, and things like that. Martha, what a journey that's taken you here to the upper Midwest.
Yeah, it's been a lot of twists and turns. I don't think 20 years ago, if you'd asked me if I would find myself in the United States, I would have said probably no way, but I am here now. So it's been quite interesting. I'm actually always amazed when I meet young people that are, you know, becoming sour on America and the idea of capitalism, because somehow they believe that life is much better elsewhere. But I've been there in the elsewhere, and things are not better. They're actually much, much worse in a lot of other parts of the world. So I am here, hopefully spreading the message so that, you know, young people can appreciate this country and, you know, not, you know, accelerate its demise. So I am always advocating for less taxes, less regulations. We need investors. We need people to innovate, because that is the way to prosperity. So I'm always excited doing this kind of job at American Experiment.
Yes, well, and we're so glad that you are, and great to have you on the conservative cause. I want to ask you about some statistics that I heard earlier today about the revenues coming in to the state of Minnesota from individual income tax and corporate franchise taxes. The numbers came in below forecast. They had $3.08 billion. But they were expecting quite a bit more than that, about 3.15. So what does this mean to us as you break down these numbers, Martha?
Hi. So I am assuming you're referring to, are you referring to the January forecast or just in general?
Yeah, just in general. Well, general fund revenues that came in, $3.08 billion in January, and that was about 2% less than forecast. So that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, so this trend actually started a little while ago in November. So when they did the November forecast, they found out that individual income tax revenues were $830 million less than forecast. That is when you're comparing to the 2024 end of session estimates, which usually come in like July. So this is a trend that has been going on a while. And then general sales tax, we're also like half a billion dollar less than yep. based on forecast as well. So I would say, given the budget deficit that we do have right now, it just essentially means that this is an issue that is potentially going to keep becoming worse. Because when you're looking into the 2028-2029 biennium, we're looking at a $5 billion deficit, which means that there's no room in there for anything to go wrong, right? So the revenue is already maxed out. All of that is accounted for. So when we are looking at these forecasts coming in lower than estimates, that's a big issue on top of an existing issue.
Go ahead, Martha. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, so the Minnesota management and budget actually did break down where some of this decline is coming from. So a couple of those things were because of changes that were made in the 2023 session. So, for instance, they created the child tax credit, and then they expanded another type of credit, the working family credit, and then the renter's credit. Usually what used to happen in the past is you would apply for that separately, but then they made it part of the income tax. So when you're filing your income taxes, you put that on. So because of that, there's a lot more people that are filing for that credit, which means yep. that it's costing more now. But mm-hmm. the other stuff that they mentioned were causing this issue too were like reduced wage growth in Minnesota. And then another thing was lower capital gains tax. So these are things that could actually likely continue to happen in this state. So if that is a risk that these things will continue to happen, it means that this yes. is a trend that would likely, you know, go on beyond even the forecast period of 2028-2029. So it is a big issue. It is a big concern.
Is it as simple to say, Martha, that, if we have lower receipts on individual income tax and corporate franchises taxes than we're forecast, is it as simple as saying that there are less people working and earning in Minnesota, and because of that, we're seeing less taxes come in? Because that would be a pretty major red flag.
I am not sure there's less people working. I think that right now that the workforce is actually growing compared to the pandemic recession. So we are still sort of in a recovery period. It just sort of seems like the growth in those in the wages is not as high as it was expected.
Sure.
So yep, when you're looking sense. at the focus right now, that the Minnesota management and budget actually noted that in the next coming decades, Minnesota is not going to see much growth from employment. Because we do have demographic changes happening in the state. This is an issue happening, all around the developed world. People are not having as many kids as they used to.
Yeah.
So the workforce isn't growing as much as it used to. But the good thing with a lot of other states in the country is they tend to get people from other states. So you see places like Florida, they're getting a lot of workers from other states. But that doesn't usually happen in Minnesota.
Right.
So
right.
our workforce isn't growing as much as it used to. So okay. a lot of the gains that were expected from the individual income tax were supposed to come from people's wages growing. But then that is not happening at such a high rate as it was expected, which is where we see some of this, of these revenues coming in lower than expected.
Yeah, so it'll be something worth keeping our eyes on right there. And with the state of Minnesota, we know that there's been a lot of disposable income that has left the state, and a lot of people have moved to other areas where they feel like they have better opportunities. So who those people are that are working and how much they're working and what those wages look like as they move through their careers, that's certainly a storyline worth following. Martha, thank you very much for joining us here on the show, giving me a few minutes today. Great to meet you and great to get your takeaways from the report that came out today. Take care and have a great day.
All right. Thank you for having me. Have a good
Thanks so much. You bet. You take care. Thanks for joining me on the show today. Martha Giolamoli, economist for the Center of the American Experiment. All right, short break for us. We got news and weather right now, and then when we come back, good friend of mine, Karen Olson from Shields, is going to join me. And there's a lot of great organizations to support on Giving Hearts Day, but Karin and I have a bond over one particular charity and the person it's named after, and we're going to visit about that as we continue here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right, well, you probably spend a lot of your time during the day doing the things you got to do, picking up the kids, making lunch, working, doing what you got to do. You don't often think about life insurance. I get that. But every once in a while, you got to take a few minutes and ask yourself, am I covered? Do I have the right people working for me? Do I have the right coverages? And the best person I can think of to have that conversation with is DJ Coulter from American Family Insurance. He says the key is to make sure that you have a long-term policy that's locked in for 10, 20, 30 years. Even if you've got a policy at work, a lot of people think, well, I've got some life insurance to work. That's all good. But what happens if you leave that job or maybe they change their benefit plan? You never know. These things can go away overnight. So you don't want to be in that situation. And if it's been a little while since you thought about it, since you talked about it, maybe your life has changed, you got some kiddos now, you got to make sure this thing is all figured out. So give a call to my buddy DJ Coulter, 701-235-6641. Well, every once in a while on Giving Hearts Day, I am going through the list of charities, or you talk to somebody and you're reminded of how many great people there are that make all of these things happen on Giving Hearts Day. Certainly, Pat Trainer and his team at Giving Hearts Day, Dakota Medical Foundation, they do a great job. But when you're looking down the list, sometimes you're like, oh, that's right. Somebody that I know or somebody I care about is part of that. And every once in a while, you also get to honor somebody and the great work that they have done. And if you're really lucky, you get to be me today and visit with a good friend of mine about a really great person who is on that list in one way or another today. I'm talking about the Mark Knutson Kids, Shoes for Kids Legacy Fund. Sorry about that. And Mark, as you know, the late Fargo Marathon director, was a great friend of mine, a person who made so many people healthy in our community by advocating for running and getting out. And one of the things that he got started a while ago was this Shoes for Kids Legacy Fund. And Mark passed away a couple of years ago, and there is a great group of people who are friends of Mark who are making sure that his memory lives on, and one of them is here with me today, Karin Olson, marketing lead at Shields. Karin, thanks so much for stopping by. Great to see you. Great to visit with you again, and thanks for coming by and hanging out with me for a little bit here today.
This is my favorite day of the year, hands down, and if you follow Shields, you know what a journey and an adventure we've been on today. But back at the store right now, and all day, we've had a treadmill in the very, very front and center of the store on 45th Street. Raising awareness, running miles, and raising money for Mark's legacy fund, his passion project. He started it in 2010, and you know, I firmly believe his goal was to turn everybody in the community into a marathoner, yeah, in some way, sure, shape, or form, and created this just amazing week-long event to get kids going, get people and their dogs going, get cycling's going, and aside from the marathon, the half marathon, 10K, all of that stuff. And he started Shoes for Kids with that goal in mind of healthy kids, happier kids, better habits, getting off of your devices, and really going for it that way. And a fun story about me getting involved, I've been on the Fargo Marathon Committee since 2013, so I'm certainly very familiar with it. But in 2020, Mark and I had a conversation right before COVID about, can Shields help Shoes for Kids? And we announced the partnership on Giving Hearts Day in 2020. So it was this day is so special to me for so many reasons. I love it for everything it stands for. But that is a memory that will stick out to me forever. Since Shields has been involved with Shoes for Kids, we've been able to double or triple the buying power that investors are making to that program. And we've been able to, since 2020, put 11,000 pairs of shoes back into the community. It's incredible.
Crazy. Yeah. Tell me a little bit how it works then. So this Shoes for Kids Legacy Fund, donations come in. What happens from that point?
Yep, donations come in, and then we take the money raised, and it goes right back into purchasing shoes to work with gym teachers, to work with those liaisons in schools that know those kids that really, really would benefit from a brand new pair of running shoes and a brand new pair of athletic shoes. And they do it really discreetly. They do it with purpose, and they're not, it's not a community closet situation. They're trying to use those gym teachers to identify who's coming in flip-flops, who really, really needs them, and then making it fun for that kid to receive a new pair of shoes. That new pair of shoe feeling, like when you have that first day
it's
of school,
best.
It's just the best.
The best.
It's the best at 42. Like, I love a new pair of shoes at 42. You know, so can you imagine it as like a, you know, 7-year-old or an 8-year-old? And that's really where the program is designed. It's that's for that second-ish, third-ish grade kid that is, we need to develop healthy habits, stay off their, you know, devices, stay off video games. Not everyone's going to be a famous YouTuber, sorry kiddos, but, you know, it's really, really great to pick up those healthy habits and get out there. So that's kind of that age group that we really aim to serve first.
You said it, Karin. You give a kid a new pair of shoes, especially when they haven't had one for a while, they're just going to run around in circles for an hour.
Yeah.
They just love to run. It's just a natural thing for kids.
Yes. Yeah, and we've been able, Shields has been able to partner with Under Armour the past 4 years to be able to purchase those shoes at a really, really awesome price and, again, be able to make that investment back into the community. So after Mark passed, we knew this was such a special program and was so near and dear to his heart. We said, we've got to keep this going.
Yeah.
We've got to let that legacy live on. And officially, we are back with Dakota Medical. It is the Mark Knutson Shoes for Kids Legacy Fund, powered by Shields. And I can share with you that we've raised over $10,000 today.
Wow, and already that, today.
And that treadmill has run over 50 miles. Mm. So almost 2 marathons on the treadmill at the store. Over $10,000 raised, and as we were chatting before we came on, how special is it that we're sitting here with this ticker at DMF right on the stage, and it hits $26.2 million raised on.
We just did it. Yep.
You know, and if you knew, if you knew Mark, you remembered Mark. He was 26.2. Fargo 26.2 was his license plate, and so just some of those little Easter eggs, you know, that happen on days like this, that are those verklempt moments that you just have, and they're so special. Mm. So 2 marathons run at Shields today, $26.2 million raised for the whole day, over $10,000 raised for shoes for kids, and it's so, so humbling and so cool to see.
Now, remind me, were there a couple years when the program kind of took a back seat and kind of got on the back burner? Has this always been going in some way? Because it seems like there was a change a few years ago for one reason or other. I'm trying to remember what happened.
Yeah, so it was an official charity, and then when we came on board with Shields, we decided that it wasn't that Giving Hearts Day wasn't the right avenue for it because we had that investment piece and we were ready to go.
Yeah.
And we've been running it. You know, COVID didn't stop. Even the COVID year when there was no Fargo Marathon, we still had a Shoes for Kids delivery. So it's maybe taken a little bit different shape over the years, but it's been running since 2010.
Yeah.
We're really, really proud of that, and we've got a nice board, all volunteers that get together and do that stuff, and Mark's son is a part of that, which is really cool. So it's got that great family connection, but really what's most important is that this project lives on in his memory and in his legacy.
Yeah, no doubt. How do you find the kids? How do you find the places for the shoes to go?
Yeah, so we work with the liaisons in the school districts. And we kind of divvy the shoes up based on the school districts, you know, Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo. This year we did go a little bit into the rural communities. We hit Detroit Lakes because we know Mark had been living in Detroit Lakes. And we also hit Hillsboro, where Mark was from, Northern Cass, Central Cass, and Kindred. Mm. So just, you know, smaller numbers in those rural districts. But we really put that power back into the school district to best identify those kids because I don't know them. Our board members don't necessarily know them, but we know that the liaisons within the schools and especially the gym teachers know those kids that
they'll know.
Yep, they
they'll
know those
ones.
Kids that are ready to run,
yes.
but are coming to gym class in flip flops, or you know, just a shoe that isn't going to serve them.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you know you're a runner. Mark couldn't turn me into a runner, but he's turned so many people into runners. You know, you have that new fresh kicks feeling.
Yeah.
You get out, you step in some miles, you get some fresh air.
Yep.
And it's just such an empowering feeling.
And then you want to eat better. Then you want to call your mom. You want to get your sleep. It's just how holistic health, it just all works together. It's awesome. So what do we look for when we go on givingheartsday.org to try to find this wonderful organization here?
Yeah, so you just do a quick search for Shoes for Kids. It's a $20 pledge this year. We'll buy a pair of shoes to be put onto a kid this coming fall.
How great is that? Pretty easy to
figure
out, right?
Pretty easy. Pretty
wonderful.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for all that you're doing. Excited that we're over 10,000 already, and thanks for honoring Mark's memory. He was a dear friend of mine, and to so many people, and he definitely made this community better in a million different ways.
Yeah.
And for Shields to be doing what you're doing, along with James, the other board members, mm-hmm. too, super powerful and really great to see young kids benefiting day after day, year after year from this great program. So keep up the great work, sister. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Karen Olson, marketing lead at Shields, joining us here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Well, we are at $26.3 million raised so far, so we continue to move in the right direction. Some pretty cool stuff. All right, when we come back, some new polling out from CBS News talking about how people perceive the new president and how people perceive the next year under the new president. Some interesting numbers have come out of this. We'll do that when we continue on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Style Safe Bath and Shower, they are the people to turn to. They are the experts in tub-to-shower conversions, veteran-friendly, lots of experience working with the VA as well. And their numbers tell you that more than 20 million adults a year are injured in the bathroom, of all places. And one in four Americans 65 and older fall each year. And stepping over the tub is the number one place in the house where people fall. So don't let that be you. Let them come and take a look at your home. Make sure that it is the place that you want to be for a long period of time. The nursing home costs are very expensive. Stay in that home as long as you can. And the good folks at Style Safe Bath and Shower would be happy to visit with you about making that happen. Okay, so I want to talk about a couple of stories I saw that need to be discussed here for just a minute. CBS News came out with a poll asking people about how should the opposite party in Washington, D.C. be treating the new president. Okay, so they asked a few questions, and they asked about congressional Democrats. Should you try to oppose Trump as much as possible or try to find ground with him? Okay, so this is weird, you guys. In January, so a month ago, 46% of Democrats that were surveyed said, I think we should oppose him as much as possible. You know what that number is now? 65. 46 to 65. And all he has done is expose fraud and corruption. And Democrats, by 20 percentage points, are unhappy with that. And the numbers about trying to find common ground with Trump are down 54% to 35%. So I don't know. People are not, maybe just not getting their news from the right sources. That's kind of where I would go with this, because that one doesn't make any sense. And then I've got to give this story to you as well. Here is what I call a paragraph 10 story. These are the stories that I bring you every once in a while where you read a story and it's like, okay, this is kind of interesting. Okay, this is all right. Yeah, that's all right. And then you get to something down at the bottom of the story and you go, oh my gosh, this is why I came here. All right, so here's a story from NBC News. House Republicans released a budget resolution. This was yesterday. It calls for cutting taxes by up to $4.5 trillion and sets a goal of slashing federal spending by $2 trillion. Sounds great, right? So they go on to say that this is a spending bill or a tax cutting bill that if it gets approved by the panel in the full House chamber, then the Republicans can get started crafting a massive party line bill to pass the president's agenda, okay? It would also raise a debt limit by $4 trillion. If you're cutting taxes, it'll take a while for the revenue to kick in on the other side of that, okay? So the story goes on to give you some data about, you know, where the money's being spent, where they want to save, and so forth. And then it gets really good. Representative Congressman Brendan Doyle, the ranking Democrat on the Budget Committee, dismissed the proposal, okay? No, we don't want to find $4.5 trillion in tax cuts and slash federal spending by $2 trillion. We don't want that to happen. He says, quote, this Republican plan isn't just bad policy. It betrays the middle class. Their proposal slashes critical programs that millions of hardworking Americans rely on, all while adding trillions of dollars to the deficit to bankroll, massive giveaways for giant corporations, and wait for it, and billionaires like Elon Musk. Where do we start? The quote, this Republican plan isn't just bad policy, it betrays the middle class. Well, where I come from, the middle class is most affected when there's inflation through the roof. And what causes mass inflation? A lot of government spending. One of the biggest reasons. Think about how much money is in our system the government has spent. And yes, that means that there are some people that can spend money and money matriculates around the system and all that. But when you have that much, we have, what, $4 trillion in federal spending rolling through our economy. They can't find out where it is or, you know, what where it might have gone, but it's there. And if you want to talk about how to betray the middle class, it's continue to spend the way they have spent and continue to run the country into insolvency. Because then your interest rates will go up because we have to refinance all of this debt with higher interest rate money. And in the end, what happens is groceries get more expensive, utilities get more expensive, everything gets more expensive. So I just don't know how you get it betrays the middle class. And then at the end, of course, you get a statement of this is all going to add trillions of dollars of deficit to bankroll, massive giveaways for giant corporations and billionaires like Elon Musk. Why is it important that Elon Musk is a billionaire? Why does that matter here? There is the class warfare alive and well that they cannot get enough of talking about. This was really in vogue in the early part of the Biden presidency. We kind of sort of lost that. It sort of dropped off the radar the last couple of years, but now we're back. And watch now in the news coverage. Watch the Democrats talk, and you hear it over and over and over. They'll say something, 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 and billionaires like Elon Musk. I didn't think it was possible, but there is someone who is rivaling Trump in the derangement syndrome world, and it's Elon Musk. And they don't like what he's doing. Why is that, you suppose? Might be a little something to do with he is messing with their income streams, their kickbacks, all of this fraud and corruption. So I just thought you might be interested in seeing that today, that, boy, they hate Elon Musk, but class warfare is back because everything Trump does is only to benefit the big corporations and the billionaires like Elon Musk. They don't realize what our tax, the Trump tax cut plan did for this country. All right, my friend, I'll leave you with that note here tonight as well, something I had to pass along before the day ended. We are right now at 26.4, not trillion, thank you. Well, that would be kind of fun, right, if we gave $26 trillion, but $26.4 million so far. The record, 29.3. My guess is going to go down about 8:30 tonight. You have a great night, my friend. We're out a little early tonight for some special programming coming up tonight, so excited for that. Have a great night, my friend, and keep on flying that flag.